The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show Best Of Podcast.
Second hour is live. Mark is up next in Tuscaloosa. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Paul. Thank you for taking my call, man. I was inside the Coleman, and I just wanted to share with you something that I learned after the game. You know, I get home, and, you know, it's a big win, and then I happened to get something that I never thought I'd get out of a coach who I thought was a classy coach. I thought he was one of the top elite coaches in college basketball. Coach Pearl, you may have already played the sound clip, and this is old news to you and to the viewers and listeners, but to hear him and the way that he, first of all, violated a lot of the SEC rules in terms of officiating and making statements like blown call there at the end, et cetera. But more than that, I noticed Coach Nate Oates, when Alabama won and swept Auburn, he did a little angels in the outfield. I don't know if you ever seen that movie, but it looked like he just kind of waved his arms up and down, and then he got back into composure, you know, got back into a major college coach who had just swept Auburn and won the SEC. And then I looked back. I wanted to see what Coach Pearl looked like after he swept Alabama during Coach Oates' first year at Alabama. And I was shocked. I saw him with a broom in his hand, just acting a fool. And so I thought, okay, it's okay to do that now. I'm not condemning him, but if you're going to do it that way, then you have to show, you got to have some restraint when you lose, or else you cannot say you're a classy elite coach, in my opinion. I wanted your opinion on that.
Yeah, I did hear, I was on a show earlier today, and I heard the way he ended, I heard his radio interview, which I thought was over the top. And I just feel like Bruce Pearl is an emotional guy, and lately, because his team is mired in a losing period, it's just getting to him. And you have to be above that.
Right.
You can't wear everything on your sleeve. It becomes annoying after a while.
Yeah, and I'm one of those Alabama fans. There's not many. I pulled for Auburn when they were in the Final Four.
Oh, sure.
You know, and I promise you. And so I was just so disappointed, you know, when I heard that kind of talk, you know, because, like you said, I know he's disappointed. And I know the game meant a lot more. I mean,
oh no, it was. They're trying to get in the tournament. And by the way, they're no right. guarantee right now. But that doesn't matter. I mean, I heard him call the officiating a joke. I heard a bunch of things.
Yeah.
And when you have a 17-point lead, don't blame it on the officiating.
You know what? I have nothing else to say. You just nailed it. I'll let someone else get on. Thank you, Paul.
You know, I have friends I hear from, you know, when are you going to do something? When you need to do something about officiating. I don't care about officiating because it's not. I have nothing to do with it. I've said what annoys me about officiating. It's not the bad calls, which there are many. It's just the procrastination. The SEC has good officials. They're not going down to the Dollar Tree on Sunday and hiring people. It's a very difficult game, and I'm not making excuses. I'm just saying that men's basketball is a little more complex because I've gotten to know officials through traveling, and I think the biggest problem is these guys do too many games. I've run into the same guy at an airport, and I say, "Where are you going?" I got this game. I'm in Notre Dame tonight. I'm in Chapel Hill tomorrow night. I got Auburn Saturday, Friday night. You can't be sharp when you're on the road every day of the week. Anyway, let's get back to the calls here and check in with Steven, who is up next in Alabama. Hey, Steven.
Hey, I just wanted to call in. I was listening the other day, and you're talking about the Miller and the Alabama situation, and the caller went off on you talking about how you're just such an Alabama hater, this, that, and the third. And I was just thinking, like, my goodness, like, that can't be anything further from the truth. Like, because I've heard you be very fair to Alabama for such a long time, and you can have a difference of opinion. You don't have to just, like, serve the institution of Alabama. And I was just really bothered by that because I think it is a difficult situation with Miller, and, like, you are right to want and anticipate an institution to have some sort of accountability. So I just wanted to call in and
thank you for saying that, Stephen. When people say that, I understand what they're saying. I mean, this is something that we do, and fans tend to want to think about their team. And I think when you get a Miller situation, and now we have a Jalen Carter situation, fans do not want to hear criticism. And I think because there really isn't a lot of it anymore, and, you know, I'm going to sound like somebody that has been around a long time, but I have. I think the media primarily caters to whatever team they cover. They're not nearly as negative as you think they are. And in the case of Brandon Miller, I think there have been some outliers. There have been some people who have distorted the truth, who have defamed Brandon Miller, who have been incredibly over the top against the university. Most people have not, though. I mean, I did a show today with about Jalen Carter with Stephen A. Smith, and the conversation was very poignant, I thought, dignified. Nobody really knows where to go there. In Brandon Miller's case, it was a little bit easier because Nate Oates used some idiotic terminology, and he just got skewered for it. And he still gets – he got blamed for the fight last night. He's getting blamed – I mean, he's a well-meaning person who was let down by his own school and his own administration, and he walked into a buzzsaw that he should not have been subjected to. He should have had some understanding and knowledge of the situation.
Yeah, that's definitely apparent. And I just think, in particular, that it is on the institution to definitely do accountability, regardless of what the cost may be. Like, I think about a few years ago, I don't know if you remember this, with the UCLA and the shoplifting in China.
Oh, yeah.
And those players were suspended indefinitely. And I'm not saying the situation was handled perfectly, but it costs the school, and I think it's important that you set a standard of what your school represents, and that way people know, like, man, regardless.
Yeah, but you know what, Stephen? I think there's almost no standard anymore because NIL has blurred the lines. The concern about losing a player, and thank you for the call. I've never seen it where, I mean, I don't see very much discipline at all. In college athletics, and that goes for some of the greatest coaches around. People are starting to question Kirby Smart's stewardship of the Georgia program because of the Carter incident. By the way, the season was over. It was the night of a celebration. I'm not really sure what Kirby Smart could or should do. I think every coach after a celebration says, you know, be careful, but. No amount of words by Kirby Smart or anyone else was probably going to interfere with what tragically happened that night. We head to the break. We can continue to take your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Dan Murphy joining us in a moment.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hardmints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Thursday afternoon, Dan Murphy of ESPN joining us. A lot of things happening with NIL and the NCAA, and Dan Murphy joins us. There is a new president in town, I think. I don't know if he's actually in town or not, Dan, but there is a new president of the NCAA. Take us through what's on his docket as a new era begins for this organization that is often widely criticized. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. Yeah, thanks for having me. Charlie Baker. Yeah, Wednesday was his first day in office. I think he's actually in Indianapolis. He doesn't plan on living there, moving there. He's a Boston guy, former Massachusetts governor who just finished up his second term there. But I had a chance to speak with him on Monday, a couple days before he took over. And, you know, he's talking about making NIL more transparent. He's talking about, obviously, all the big problems looming over the NCAA right now. The thing that stood out to me the most in our conversation is more than most people I've spoken to in college sports, certainly more than Mark Emmert, who came before him, he seemed to understand that there is a major difference between the entertainment industry side of college sports, the Power Five football, some men's basketball, and everything else, and realizing that he probably needs to separate those two things in order to find a path forward.
Dan, I'm all for a change, and frankly, it wouldn't have mattered to me who took over after Mark Emmert. It seemed like it would have been better. But how much of what you heard from him do you think is political speak, and how much can really be implemented, and what's it all about?
Yeah, well, he's a good politician, right? He can answer. He can speak for a long time without answering a question is one of the things we learned. But he did say change is coming. I think he's pragmatic, maybe more pragmatic than a lot of people who have spent their whole career in college athletics or in higher education. He understands what the outside world looks like and the NCAA's need to, if it wants to have any say over what it's going to look like in 10 years, it needs to be more proactive in changing. He spoke about that. He did say, though, that this is going to look more like an evolution than a revolution when we talk. So, you know, don't expect him to show up on Monday and completely turn the NCAA on its head and all of a sudden college athletes are going to be employees. I don't think that's going to happen, but I do think he's going to be more open-minded to thinking about the ways that college sports need to change. And again, I think a big piece of that is realizing that treating Power Five football or FBS football and some of the top tiers of college basketball might need to look even more different and more of a separate entity than they are right now.
Dan, considering the position, and as much criticism as Emmert received, I'm not really sure at the end what he could have done about anything. How influential is this position other than as a figurehead? What can he really do as head of the NCAA?
Yeah, and in fairness to Mark Emmert, when he came into the job 12 years ago, he had the same sort of attitude of wanting to effect change and be somebody who can push things forward. And he quickly learned that getting 1,100 members who are pretty happy with the way things are to move is not easy. And if you want to keep the job, they weren't necessarily interested in any kind of radical change. And who knows how Baker will respond to that. I think there is a certain responsibility for the leader to convince everyone else that they need to move forward. I think Charlie Baker takes over an NCAA and a group of leaders who is far more accepting of the idea that they are going to have to change and they're going to have to do some uncomfortable things than Mark Emmert really ever had during his 12 years leading the NCAA. But as you said, you know, this is a position where your job is to build consensus. You're not actually making the rules. Charlie Baker isn't going to be a dictator or even have the same kind of power that Roger Goodell or somebody leading another pro sport has. He has to try to get everybody else to agree on a plan to move forward. And, he will use his skills from being in politics to try to find that common ground for people to move forward. But ultimately, it's up to the schools, university presidents, and athletic directors to decide on a path and take it.
Dan, NIL is the big question, and administrators almost collectively talk about needing help from Congress. One reason we think Baker got this job. I realize that's not what the theme of this week was, but what is the likelihood anything really happens on NIL, and where would they find the help, assuming that they could even get Congress to do something on it?
Yeah, I think we've heard a lot about sort of the big asks that leaders of the bigger conferences want. They want an antitrust exemption. They want something in writing from federal lawmakers that says athletes are not employees. And look, this is something they've been asking for 2 or 3 years, and it just hasn't happened. And in some ways, Charlie Baker, knowing some people on Capitol Hill and probably having a little bit more of their respect than the previous NCAA regime, might help in reaching some sort of a compromise. But I think the shoe also fits on the other side here too, right? Where Charlie Baker is going to be able to come back to university presidents and athletic directors and say to them with more credibility, listen, I know how this world works. Right now, Congress isn't buying what you're selling. You need to compromise. And so we talked a little bit on Monday about how he's going to take the conversations he has with Congress and then bring them back to college sports leaders and say, this is what is going to have to happen if you want this to move at all. So I think his first priority with NIL is making everything a little bit more transparent and accountable, which is something that the athletes have called for more, trying to understand what they should really expect when they enter this market. Whereas right now you're hearing a lot of college leaders and coaches talk about the need to crack down on collectives and on the transfer pool and people using this as a recruiting inducement. That wasn't Baker's priority. His was about making this more transparent at first, and I'm sure you can do two things at once, but he's coming at it from a slightly different angle than a lot of what we're hearing when people are complaining about the current atmosphere in college sports.
So Dan, let's talk about that part of it. The enforcement game, the enforcement division talks a good game about what it's going to do, but we don't really see much evidence of it. Tell us about what's going on right now and also about threats. They were going after Miami, and then John Ruiz spoke up. I know you've had some conversations with him. What's this all about?
Yeah, so last Friday, the NCAA issued their first sanctions to any program for an enforcement case that it's at least related to NIL. And they sanctioned the Miami women's basketball team and their head coach, who helped arrange a meeting between John Ruiz, who's a billionaire business owner who went to Miami, and the NCAA considers him a booster of Miami athletics. He's signed up at least 100 different Hurricane athletes to NIL deals through his company called Life Wallet. And, you know, the Miami coach set up this meeting between Ruiz and Haley and Hannah Cavender, who are two of the more big, you know, prominent names in the early NIL marketplace because they have millions of TikTok followers and have made a lot of money by being able to sell their name, image, and likeness. So the NCAA dinged Miami recently, but you know, I don't think this case really draws a line in the sand in any way that will scare some of the collectives. The issue that we hear coaches and athletic directors complain about is schools throwing a lot of money around, mostly in football and in men's basketball, trying to convince athletes to come to their school as opposed to, you know, the school that they're currently at. And I'm not sure that this is a great example of that at all, right? The Cavender twins probably have more actual endorsement market value than almost anybody else in college sports. And John Ruiz, unlike a lot of these other businesses, the collectives that have been set up in the past year with the sole purpose of putting money into the pockets of college athletes, Ruiz actually has a legitimate company that he's using and trying to endorse with athletes. So, you know, I think he obviously wants to promote Miami sports and try to get athletes to show up to Miami as well. But this wasn't an ideal case for them to try to lower the hammer on anybody. I don't think it's going to send anybody at collectives to really change their way of doing business. And in fact, I spoke to Ruiz shortly after the sanctions came down. He wasn't punished at all as a part of this. Neither were the Cavender twins. And he told me that he said, it's a lucky thing that I wasn't, because if I am punished at any point, you better believe I'm going to come right back at the NCAA with a lawsuit. And I think I believe him. This is a guy who's built a career on being litigious and running legal companies. So I think we don't know yet whether the NCAA has the legal standing to try to make any of these cases in the NIL market that they want to make. And the first case that they brought against Miami really doesn't answer those questions for us.
So, Dan, in terms of all the hot air that we're hearing, what evidence is there that they really are going to do anything? Because we hear the stories every day. It's a feeding frenzy out there. It's a market. It's free agency. After talking to all these people, are we any closer to to seeing anybody do anything about that, or is this simply the wild, wild west like we all think it is?
Well, you know, they've changed their rules, right? I'm sure you've talked about on the show before. Now the burden of proof in future cases that the NCAA enforcement wants to bring on people will be on somebody like John Ruiz to prove that, in fact, he didn't break a rule. Whereas when this case started, the old rules were still in place, and it was on the NCAA had the burden of proving that the Ruiz did break a rule. So they're confident that that might change things and might give them more power to punish the boosters involved here. I still don't think there's any interest on anybody's front from wanting to punish athletes as a part of this. But again, you're asking the NCAA, or as long as people aren't sloppy about it, right? As long as the John Ruizes of the world or the collectives out there aren't sloppy about the way that they put these deals together, there's no way for the NCAA to litigate somebody's mindset and say, I believe that you gave this inducement strictly because of this player's athletic ability instead of their ability to endorse your collective or your company. And I don't know how they do that, right? Even if it looks in plain sight like we're all pretty clear on why this player is getting this money, as long as you continue to deny and you're not sloppy about the paper trail you leave behind, I don't see how the NCAA is going to be able to enforce these rules. And in fact, one of the reasons that I think that we saw Miami women's basketball as the first program to be get dinged here rather than of the football team or the men's basketball team, which also have dealings with John Ruiz, is because the women's basketball coach cooperated fully, right? And I think we've heard that plenty of times with NCAA enforcement, that cooperating sometimes can work against you. And I'm sure they don't like hearing that, but in this case, it seems to have bared to be true.
Many thanks. Dan Murphy, the latest from the NCAA, which sounds like business as usual. We head to the break. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Final conversation there. By the way, we'll talk to Pat Forty in the next hour about his view on both the Georgia situation and the Alabama situation with Brandon Miller. More of your phone calls coming up next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And we are back, and Myth is up next in Kentucky. Good afternoon, Myth.
Hey, Myth, Paul. How you doing?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Hey, with these NIL deals, this is going to continue. With the Carter deal there in Georgia, I don't understand how come they're not setting rules out for these guys that are pro athletes or going to be pro athletes when it comes to driving vehicles and being away from campus. Why are they not having somebody, like, you know what I'm saying, like drive them or have Uber drive them?
Let me explain something. First of all, Carter had already played his last down at UGA. And it was a Saturday night of the celebration. So what are they supposed to do? I mean, you have 100 players as part of a football program. What is the university supposed to do is my question.
Well, I mean, I would think that there should be some kind of policy set in. If you're going to leave campus, that the players don't need to be driving anywhere. I think that would cover them in any situation off campus, on campus, in a vehicle wise.
Well, I'm struggling to understand how the school has the right to do any of that. It's a free world, and if you have a car, which almost all of these athletes do, and it's Saturday night, I mean, you live off campus. Well, I mean, what are you supposed to do?
I mean, I totally agree with you, Paul. Thing about it is I'm coming from I got law enforcement background history.
Sure.
I played in college myself. The thing about it is it falls on the coaching, it falls on the school system, and it looks bad on them if they don't have something set up for them, and this is going to continue with the Carter deal, with the Miller deal in Alabama. Passing on to that, my next question is to you, Paul. If you had a bucket list of sporting events, what would the top three be?
That's interesting because we asked that question today, and I've been to a lot, to say the least. I'm trying to think of something that I haven't been to. What would you do?
So my first one would be going to the Masters.
Okay.
My second one would be going to a Kentucky versus Duke game.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool.
And I think I would like to be in a Final Four or maybe a championship game, basketball or football, you know, either one of the three.
Yeah, it's a great question. And I've covered the Masters many times, but I will tell you the first time I went to Augusta was pretty eye-opening. I've been to the Derby, I've been to Super Bowls, and obviously a few championship games. I've never been to the British Open. Have you ever wanted to go to that, Randy? Yeah, that would be fairly cool. I wouldn't mind going to a World Cup in some – really intriguing country, but yeah, that's a great question. I think I've spoiled a little bit because I've been in sports my whole life, but I'm gonna have to work on that list. Hey, thank you very, very much. Eric is up next. Eric, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
We are doing well, thank you.
Hey, this myth must said he was law enforcement background. Was he
yeah.
Barney Fife? Or
He didn't say whether it was Mayberry or
which locality
it was. Or he used to work with Larry in Shelby, Alabama, but either one of the two.
So he likes Bud Light.
Apparently. Yeah. I agree. I mean, if you could save a lot, if you could save these two lives, I would be willing to do anything, and I know you would too. But ultimately, you cannot tell people, you can't tell young people they can't drive on the weekends. I mean, that's you have to give them the best guidance possible. That's all.
I have kids at Auburn University, and I could tell them they're not athletes, but I could tell them not to drive, and that wouldn't go over too well.
So. No, it's just not possible.
Never heard from never heard from Legend yesterday. Do you know what happened with that?
Well, I'm sorry, what was that?
Legend never heard anything. I never saw Legend called yesterday.
Legend, in fairness, has a job. We hear from him most every day, but not every day. So we clearly missed him yesterday, though. You're right.
Yeah, I moved back to Alabama 17 years ago, and right when I moved back, I was down in Florida, and my mother-in-law told me, you've got to listen to Paul Feinbaum. He's an Alabama fan, but you got to listen to Feinbaum. And like the guy that called the other day, I could not stand you for the first probably 3 or 4 years, but I still listened to you and recorded you every day once you went to ESPN. But, yeah, I've been watching you and listening to you now for about.
We welcome all of you back who've been watching women's basketball, and we'll get you back out there a little bit later on for the next game. But we are here reviewing and talking about some of the bigger stories of the day. We said at the top of the show about Jalen Carter back at the combine after checking in late last night in Athens, Georgia. Let's get back to the calls, and JD is up next in Orlando. Hello, JD.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Hey, just a quick question for you. I live in Florida. I used to live in Lexington for quite a while, so definitely follow UK athletics quite a bit. question for you is, and this is something me and my friends have been discussing for the last year or so with Coach Cal, well aware of the buyout, the lifetime contract, all of the funds involved. If those were to be worked out and he leaves and the basketball team is looking for a new coach, who would be your top two or three replacements that would actually fit the mold of a UK basketball program?
I think until Nate Oates re-signed with Alabama, I think he would have been high on my list. I think Coach Muss at Arkansas is a great basketball coach. He's had good players, but he's never had what he would have at Kentucky. Around the country, I'd have to think about that for a second, because it is not a job for everyone. Going back 15, 16 years when they were trying to recruit Cal from Memphis, I know they offered the job once or twice to Billy Donovan, but now he's in the NBA. So, I mean, I'm just trying to give you the mindset. They went with Billy Gillespie, who couldn't handle the pressure. That speaks for itself. So I think it's somebody that has been tested, and that's the critical thing. I think it's one of the great jobs in all of sports. But it's also a job like Alabama football and other jobs where the fans literally drink it up every day of the year, not just during the basketball season. And that can wear on people. And that's why I think Cal has been so unique, that mostly, and I say mostly, he has been able to embrace that part of it. But you know, being in Memphis helped him a lot, because that's another market that is basketball crazy.
Yeah, and that's the hardest point. I think they're, you know, Lexington, for the most part, there's a mix. You know, some people love Cal. I think he's done a great job. I mean, the expectations are so high at Kentucky. But, you know, really trying to think through a short list of replacements, it's not just about winning. It's about culture. It's about fit. It's about philanthropy. And
yeah, JD, it's not you can't just go get the hottest coach in the country. That will not work at Kentucky. And you have to find somebody who's been I mentioned Musselman for this reason. He's been an NBA coach. He's been a lot of places. I'm not suggesting he would leave. I'm just mentioning a name, because you have to be able to handle the heat. And they will criticize, they're just fans, but they will criticize the Kentucky coach for how they look on Midnight Madness. It's like Alabama in football. It takes a unique coach, and I used to live there, so I would watch a coach that would come in with credentials, but simply could not manage the market. Hey, thanks for the call. Thank you very, very much. We head to the break. More of your phone calls. We'll talk to Pat Forty, who lives in the state of Kentucky and has had some choice comments about Cal in recent days. He also opined on the Jalen Carter and Brandon Miller situation. We'll talk to 40 in the next hour. We're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Back here on a Thursday afternoon. Jim is in New York, and you are next up. Hey, Jim.
Hey, how are you?
We're doing great. Thank you.
That's awesome. Yeah, no. So I heard what the last caller there said, and, you know, I completely agree with him in that. You know, in not all situations can you necessarily have the hottest coach in the country, right? I mean, there are a lot of limitations. There are a lot of things that really hold you back. And, you know, especially in today's day, right, where, you know, you have these crazy games like where Texas A&M lost to Vanderbilt there. And, Paul, I think, you know, I think everyone wants to know, are you circumcised?
Yeah. I thought I answered that question the first day of work. I don't know if I can still bring, if the Moyle is still alive, we could bring him in and maybe have some videos. There's so many great jokes about circumcision, of which we won't tell any tonight. Terry is up next in Arkansas. Hello, Terry.
Well, it's going to be hard to follow that last call, but whatever. Listen, I've had enough. I listened to this earlier in the week, and I heard all the Alabama fans whining and whining and whining, and I got some nice imported cheese from Switzerland to go with that wine y'all keep talking about. Y'all get all the calls in every sport, and everybody knows that we're all sick to death of you. And I can't wait when y'all are the first number one seed, if you even make a number one seed, to be bounced out of the tournament. Because y'all ain't going to win squat the rest of the way out.
Okay, well, thank you, Terry. By the way, I think it was 5 years ago, the University of Virginia became the first number one seed to ever get knocked out of the tournament. So Alabama would be the second. Mm. Yeah, and my question is Switzerland known for cheese?
Apparently.
Oh, Swiss cheese. Yeah, that's right. I knew that. I should have known that.
Cheese and holes in.
Absolutely. Roger is in Switzerland's known for a lot of things, but chocolate, but Swiss bank accounts. Cheese, I really wasn't sure about. Roger is in Missouri. Hello, Roger.
How you doing?
We're doing well. Thank you.
I'm calling in reference to the Jalen Carter and the Mr. Miller issue with Alabama and basketball. You know, you've got two individuals there that are very talented individuals who excel in their sports. My question is this, is what kind of consensus are you getting around the league or leagues in reference to being, you know, in trouble and still being sought after by the NFL or the NBA, whoever it may be. So my question is, again, is what is the consensus around the area and the league or leagues in reference to these?
Yeah, Roger, let me try to give you a quick answer. I think in both cases, it's a little bit early. In Jalen Carter's case, they're still trying to unpack the case, trying to figure out exactly what is he liable for once he deals with these misdemeanor charges. I know he turned himself in, and how he handles himself in interviews. He's now a professional. Brandon Miller obviously has five more weeks of basketball. And then he will go through individual meetings, and I think that's when there will be more of a determination on him. I think what's unique is here we have arguably one of the most valuable players in college basketball, one of the most important and impactful players in college football, and they're both in trouble. They both were on the periphery of one a murder and one a tragic accident that took two lives. And another unique aspect is they both happened the same weekend.
Correct.
I think the same Sunday morning, if I remember correctly. And we also didn't know about either one. One took 5 weeks, one took 6 weeks. There's so many similarities, and so many questions remain, why it took so long in both cases.
Well, I'm prior law enforcement, and I'm the kind of person that, a person has got to be convicted. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I don't look at somebody as being guilty before they're convicted.
Right.
They've got their place, and I think there's two great talents right there. You know, look at Alvin Kamara right now. You know, Kamara's in an issue right now as well.
Sure, exactly. Well, and, they're a player. But, I mean, Morant basketball. I mean, it's when you're a high profile anything, doesn't matter whether you're a rock singer or a basketball player, you're going to draw. And you understand this better than most, Roger. There's a lot of these young people don't live the same lives that we did growing up. They're coddled, they're enabled, and they usually get away with whatever trouble that they find themselves in.
I understand. I appreciate your time. I was just curious about what kind of consensus was being
Well, it's a great question, and I think we'll know a little sooner. I know we're going to know sooner on Jalen Carter because he's in the moment right now. Brandon Miller is TBD. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. We have a couple more hours to go. Pat Forty will join us in a few minutes. He has written for Sports Illustrated about the connection between the two cases.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.